It's good to be back and preaching God's word this morning. We've taken a bunch of weeks off because of Advent and just a couple of weeks of a break. We are now returning to our message series on the book of Colossians. So if you have a Bible near you, grab it and turn it. Open it up to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to look at just a few verses, verses 8 to 10 in chapter 2. Just to remind you that Paul wrote this as a letter to a church where the people were being led away from Jesus. They were being led away in a sense that they were being told and taught and encouraged to believe that they needed to believe in Jesus, but they also needed to know other things, or they had to do other things in order to be full and experience real life and know God in the fullest sense possible. And so what Paul does here in these verses, he addresses these people head on, or makes reference to them head on, and points out that what they're selling to the Colossian church is empty. It's not full. So listen to God's word as I read from Colossians 2, verses 8 to 10. "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority." Let's pray. Father, we come to you because this is ultimately where we need to get our information from you as we think about how to order our lives and build our lives and live our lives. Father, we come to you after a week where we have witnessed some really troubling, disturbing things in our country. And Father, as we come to you, we recognize that we need you. We need you to bring comfort to those who are hurting. We need you to bring conviction of sin to those who are living according to our own idols. And Father, we need you more than anything else to bring transformation to us as your people. So Father, we pray that you would speak to us this morning through your word. We are thankful that you do speak and that your spirit is alive and working in us. So, Father, we pray that your spirit would help us to listen. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of my favorite movies of the 80s is a movie called The Three Amigos. I don't know how many of you guys have seen The Three Amigos, but it is a classic comedy from the 80s, starring Steve Martin and Chevy Chase and Martin Short. And basically, it's about these three guys who are actors, and they're well-known actors, and they play cowboys in the movies that are these heroes. And they get fired by their studio, and they lose their jobs. But this little town in Mexico, I believe, hires them to come and play the heroes in their town. But the problem is they think they're just coming for another acting job, but these people actually have a real enemy that they're fighting. It's El Guapo, who has real guns and real bullets. And so they go and try to end up, you know, discovering that they're actually really trying to defend this town and be real life heroes. But one of the scenes in that movie, it's utter silliness. If you haven't seen it and you're in the mood for some silliness, Three Amigos, you can't go wrong. There's this one scene where they're riding through the desert and they're exhausted and the sun is beating down on them. And they're thirsty. They're dying of thirst as their horses just kind of trudge along through the desert, and they're kind of hunched over, and they're all just like, you can tell, they're just longing to be filled with something liquid, some water. They're thirsty. They're so thirsty. And finally they stop. And it shows Steve Martin. He pulls out his canteen and he unscrews it and he tips his head back and he dumps the canteen into his with the contents of the canteen into his mouth, and basically just like a little thimble full of water just runs out of the canteen into his mouth. And you can tell it's not satisfying at all, but it's something. So he's just like, oh well. And then it shows Martin Short's character, and he takes his canteen and he unscrews it, and then he tips his head back and dumps it into his mouth, and it's just a bunch of sand. Nothing but sand just like falls into his mouth and all over his face, and he like kind of coughs some of it out, and then he like looks down completely disappointed. And then it shows Chevy Chase, who unscrews his canteen, and he tips his head back, and he dumps the canteen into his mouth, and just water just starts pouring out of the canteen. And it pours. And it pours. For like a solid 10 seconds, he's just sitting there with water splashing into his mouth, overflowing down onto his shirt and everything. And the whole time, Steve Martin and Martin Short are just looking at him in disbelief, just like... And then finally he stops and he takes another big swig and he gargles it and spits it out into the sand. And then he takes another big swig and like swishes it around his mouth and he spits it out. And the whole time it shows, you know, Steve Martin just like, ah. And then he finally just takes his canteen and tosses it into the sand and it lands there and more water just kind of spills out of the canteen. And the whole time Martin Short and Steve Martin are just like looking on in disbelief, just longing, thirsty, just like, I can't believe you are wasting that water that we're just longing to be filled with. They're longing to be filled with it. Well, one of the things that the Colossians were dealing with and that the environment that these teachers were kind of playing into is the fact that we have all been made to be filled. We've all been made to experience fullness. We've been made with a longing for to experience the fullest experience spiritually possible. And by that I mean we're made to experience God and his presence and his power and his love to fill us up, that we're full of peace and joy, that we're full of power and impact as we live our lives. We're made to be filled by the presence and power and love of God. That's what we're made for. And in light of this, that the fact that we're made to be filled, many of us, I think, experience life a lot of time like those two thirsty cowboys. We're more aware of how we feel empty a lot of the time, how we feel thirsty, than actually being satisfied and full. We're more aware of feeling empty as we live through this pandemic, and we're tired, and we're exhausted, and we're frustrated. We're more aware of feeling empty as we feel very alone and no one seems to understand what we're going through or notice us. We're more aware of feeling empty as we face pain and suffering, as we experience loss in our lives, as we experience uncertainty. And a lot of times I think we live our lives a lot like these two thirsty cowboys just looking around at us, just being like, ah. I just need something. And in the midst of all of this longing, there were people in Colossae who were trying to convince the Colossians that the path to fullness was their philosophy of life. It was their teaching. It was what they had to say. You know, yes, believe in Jesus, but you need this other stuff. You need to know these other things. You need to follow these other rules in order to be really full. But the first thing that Paul wants to point out here in the very first verse, in verse 8, is that what these other teachers were offering, what these other people were offering, were really empty promises. They were empty promises of fullness. They maybe looked full, but they were empty. Paul writes in verse 8, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." These people were giving them things. They were saying, you need to know these specific things. Paul wasn't saying that all philosophy was bad, but that this philosophy that these people were bringing and putting on these people's backs, this philosophy of having to know these secret things or know more things in addition to knowing Christ himself. That these things that were based on human tradition, that were man-made. These rules, when he talks about elemental spirits of the world, another translation could be elemental principles of the world. He uses that same phrase later in verse 20 when he couples it to these commands like do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. And so these guys were saying, they were giving them all of these man-made rules that they had to follow in order to have spiritual power and authority, in order to be full. But Paul was saying, that might look like it'll give you fullness, but it's actually empty. There's nothing to it. It won't fill you up. I don't know why, but in all the years that Kim and I have gone out to eat, or now in the midst of this pandemic, we have to order in to eat when we do, Kim is more likely than anybody else to get her order wrong. They either don't give her something, or they put something wrong on it that wasn't supposed to be there, or whatever. But the ultimate example of this was when she was in college. There was a Wendy's, I think, that was like right next to their campus, their college campus. And she went to Wendy's one time, and she got a junior bacon cheeseburger. And I'm not sure if she went back to her dorm, or she just went back to her seat, and she went to sit down, and she it's all wrapped up in the burger wrapper, and she takes it out, and she goes to pick it up and take a bite of it, and what she realizes is that all she's holding is two halves of a bun, a piece of lettuce, and some bacon. And there's no patty inside the burger at all. And we can probably debate about whether food from fast food place like Wendy's is actually filling or not. But this junior bacon cheeseburger that promised to be filling to an extent was literally empty. I don't know if that's ever happened to any of you guys. But the crazy thing is that it's happened to Kim twice. And the only reason I know it happened to her in college is because it happened to her again since we've been married. And I'm not sure if it was Wendy's or somewhere else where she got a burger and we brought it home and she opened it up and there was no patty inside. This thing that looked filling was actually empty. And I think this is the danger for all of us as we try to fill ourselves with things that we think will fill us, but they're actually empty. These things that originate from man, from people, from our ideas and strategies for life, and not from Jesus, not according to Christ. We look to traditions to fill us, things that we've done in the past that kind of mean something to us. I mean, a lot of us probably have experienced this past Christmas. Maybe some of us have felt a little bit more empty after this past Christmas than we have other years because we haven't been able to do the traditional things we usually do. And we're counting on those things to fill us, those experiences to fill us. It's not just Christmas, it's in all of life. You know, we have these things that we always do, that we've always done. And we're counting on those things to give our lives meaning and to fill us and give us our lives peace and joy. But those things are actually empty. They might look like they'll fill us, but they're empty. They're just an empty junior bacon cheeseburger. Some of the traditions that we look to try to fill us are religious in nature. And there's a lot of religious traditions that we do. And I'm not saying that these things are bad. These traditions are not bad at all. But when we look to these things to fill us rather than what they're supposed to point us to, for example, worshiping on Sunday mornings is a good tradition. But some of us look to showing up to worship or doing worship as the thing that's going to fill us rather than the one that worship points us to. You know, when we take communion on Sunday, some of us look to communion as the thing that's going to fill us, the fact that we're just doing communion rather than as the one that communion points us to. It's only Jesus and Jesus alone that can fill us. There's all sorts of other things, philosophies of life, things that we commit ourselves to, that we kind of try to cling to. And one big example is the past week, politics, right? Kind of a vision of our country, this idealized vision of what we want our country to look like, what we think our country needs to look like. And it drives people to what they did this past week. Violence. Something shameful. Because they think that grasping for power in a violent way, that's what's going to fill them. And the really shameful thing that I saw this past week was that as I watched this incredibly unbelievable thing happening on Wednesday, that I saw in the foreground these banners that said Jesus saves on them. I mean, this couldn't be more clear of a picture of what Paul's warning us about here. Of these people who say, yes, Jesus, but I also need to grasp for power politically. You know? We add these things to Jesus, thinking that these other things are going to fill us when it's really Jesus and Jesus alone that can. So there's a long list of things, of traditional things, of rules that we place upon ourselves, thinking that if we can just behave the right way, then I will be full. But those things are all empty. They're empty. They won't satisfy. They won't fill us. And then in verse 9, Paul points us to the true promise of fullness. Where do we find fullness? Where do we find the thing that will fill us? He says, he directs our eyes to Jesus. For in him, in Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Where do we find fullness? Where is the fullness of God's presence, of God's power accessed? It's in Christ himself. Jesus is the source of fullness because it's only in Jesus that the fullness of God dwells. The entire fullness of God, right? In him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And it's not a philosophical fullness. It's not a theoretical fullness. It's not a hypothetical fullness. It's a real fullness. He dwells bodily in Jesus. How do we access the fullness of God? By looking at Jesus, at how he lived, at how he spoke, at what he did. By receiving what he has done on the cross. By looking at his sacrifice on the cross for us, it's only through Jesus' death on the cross that we are restored in relationship to God, that we can experience the fullness of God's love. It's only through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. It's all in Jesus, the real person, the bodily, fleshly person of Jesus, that we can find God and experience God and receive the fullness of God. We can't find it anywhere else. Silas and I were driving home from Morristown this past week, and I don't know, you know, probably happens to you sometimes. We realized after we had already gotten in the car and drove a little bit, the gas gauge is on empty. And we have a reading that says what the range of our car is at that point with how much gas we have, and it's about to get into single digits. We're like, we obviously knew what we needed. We need gas. We need gas right now. We need to stop and get some gas if we don't want to be stranded somewhere, right? So we knew what we needed. So where did we need to go to get the gas? I mean, this is kind of an obvious question. Well, we were passing Chipotle. Could we have stopped at Chipotle and got some gas for the car? Chick-fil-A, Kohl's, Dunkin' Donuts, we were passing them all. But would that have helped us to stop at any of those places to get gas for the car, to get what the car needed to be filled? Obviously not. It's absurd. It's silly, right? The only place that we can go to get gas is a gas station. And in the same way, there's only one place that we can go to be full, to experience the fullness that we were made for. It's Jesus Christ, because it's in Jesus and in Jesus alone that we can truly find the fullness of who God is. The fullness of his presence and his love, his attention, his compassion, his power. And so the true promise of fullness is only in Christ. There's only one place to fill ourselves with what we were made for. It's Jesus. But again, I think a lot of us end up trying to stop at Chipotle. We stop at Chick-fil-A to get Jesus instead of to get more of God instead of going to Jesus himself. We stop at things like our relationships. We look at a romantic relationship or a relationship with our children or a certain group of friends, and we think that that is what's going to fill us. That's where we're going to experience real fullness, but it's not. It's only in Jesus. We look to education. We look to experiences. You know, if we can have just enough exciting experiences, you know, we look to our team winning a playoff game today to feel fullness. But it's only Jesus and Jesus alone that's going to fill us. And then in verse 10, we have the most earth-shattering good news that we could possibly hear. I began by pointing out that many of us live like these two thirsty cowboys, right? We're aware of our need to be filled, to have a more full experience of God's love and power in our lives. But Paul says it as clearly as possible that if we have received Jesus, that's who he's talking to right now. He's talking, the verse is right before this. You know, he's saying, if you've received Christ, then walk in him. That's what we talked about last time. He's talking to people who've received Jesus. What does he say to us? He say that fullness is a fact for us. In verse 10, he says, you have been filled in him. You have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. The verb tense, basically is he's calling attention to our present state, the fact that we are full because we have been filled. Some translations say you are complete in him. You are lacking nothing. You need nothing else. You have everything you need to be full in Christ. It's a fact if you have received Jesus Christ and trusted in him. You are full. I heard somebody once quote a famous evangelist named D.L. Moody, who lived in the 19th century. Because D.L. Moody was constantly telling people, you need to be filled with the Spirit. You need to seek to be filled with the Spirit. He was constantly telling people that you need to work to try to seek to be filled with the Spirit. And somebody said, why are you always telling us to be filled with the Spirit? You know, hasn't God given us his Spirit? Why are you always telling us to be filled? He says, well, yes, when you believe in Jesus, you are filled with the Spirit, but I leak. He may have filled me, but I leak. This verse right here doesn't tell us to continue to seek to be filled by God. It says that we have been filled. If it is true that I leak, and maybe it is, I can understand what he's saying. This verse encourages us to count on the fact that we have one who is constantly pouring out into us and filling us. We are never lacking anything if we have received Jesus. Even if we're leaking, he's more than enough to keep us full. And so maybe our biggest problem isn't that we leak, but that we forget. And we live thinking that we are thirsty when God has given us everything in Christ to fill us. In that opening illustration of the three amigos, we need to realize that if we have received Christ and all that he has done for us, then we have a lot more in common with Chevy Chase's character than we do with Steve Martin and Martin Short. We have this canteen of living water that is pouring into us and even spilling out of us. You know, at the end of that scene, after he, you know, tosses the canteen aside, it pours out, he pulls out some lip balm, you know. And then he looks at the guy, he's like, lip balm? You know, he doesn't have a care in the world. He's completely at peace. And not that we should, you know, be oblivious to the suffering of the people around us, but I think that points to a sense of security and peace that we all should have because we know that Jesus has filled us no matter what we're facing, no matter how we are struggling. We have, as I said, a canteen of living water that will never cease to pour into us. We have what Jesus himself said and promised in John 7, and I'll just end with these words. John 7, 37 to 38, this is what Jesus said. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would help us to see how satisfying and sufficient Jesus is. Father, we pray that you would help us to recognize, to notice the idols that we're looking to fill us, to satisfy our thirst. Help us, Father, to just continually see again and again, and that it's only through Jesus that we can know what it means to encounter the fullness of our Father in heaven. Father, remind us that we have been filled. Father, if there are those who are listening who have not received Jesus, who are feeling extremely empty today, that you would just show them that there's nothing, not much to it. It's just a matter of saying, Jesus, I need you to fill me today with the Father's love. I pray this in Jesus' name.